Should be. Okay. Try and find me now, and I'm gonna give you this. It's the same thing, but I have a channel now. This. Okay. Yes. Sure. What? This is not what you need. Here. Oh. No worries. I hope this works. Wait a minute. Okay, sounds good. I was just. Let's see. So. I should be sharing this right now. Yes. If, yeah, see, that's, try this. Try this. This should work. It did work. Okay. Suzanne? Are you Suzanne? Oh, okay. Hello, Suzanne. We're just trying to figure this out, so I'm sorry. If you're a new subscriber, you can text and chat or whatever, or you can just listen in. me and my friend Tony are trying to work this out, trying to figure out how things are going. Oh, and speak of the devil. Let's see. I believe you're in. Hello, Tony.
Hello, Dan. Can you hear me coming in? Let me just try this real quick.
I am going to mute you
Yeah.
on Discord. So try and speak, Tony.
Okay, I'm going to try and speak here.
Oh, I still hear an echo. Wait, I muted myself. Wait, how do I? There we go. Okay,
Okay.
now there we go.
Is that better? Can you
That
hear me
is
through there?
wonderful. Yes.
Oh my goodness. It's taken us so long to try and get this set up. And I'm worried that this is not picking up the right microphone. So I'll double check it on my end as we get things underway about a minute ahead of time.
Well, you sound wonderful on my end, so.
Oh, wonderful. Just wonderful.
The
I'm very much
peachiest of
looking forward to
peaches.
this.
Me too.
I'm excited. I'm excited. You have people watching already. And
I
it's so nice
do.
of them to be here to spend their time with us tonight
I
at this
have
hour.
three listeners right now.
Three listeners, welcome.
Amarish? Amarish? That is a wonderful name. I love that name. So for anyone tuning in, I'm here with my friend Tony, also known as Talman
Hello.
Gaming.
Yes, that's me.
He is a very good friend of mine. We play video games together.
Oh, how nice of you to say. Thank you so much.
You're using the light-hearted voice.
The smooth, silky voice is coming through my awesome microphone. It's not that awesome. It was $25, but
Fair enough. I don't even know how much mine is worth, but I just know it has a nice logo and it sounds okay through recording purposes. So, yeah, for everyone listening in, we're going to be talking a little bit about games and our lives as streamers and YouTubers. I am going to be doing other I guess, more in-depth videos and or, well, live streams. But for right now, we're just going to be talking about our lives as YouTubers and streamers and trying to go through our thoughts and basis on video games and what we see in the future. So, quick little question or a quick little query. Tony, I've been wanting to ask. What is your favorite game?
Oh, my favorite game? Exactly. We're going to start out with my favorite game right now.
Yes.
That's an interesting one. It's really, like, it changes day to day, almost, not day to day, probably like month to month. And it really depends on what, of course, I'm trying to play a lot of. Like right now, probably like my favorite game for the past, like four or five days, I've been playing tons of The Long Dark because they actually just released their chapter 3, and that's awesome. It evolved. Mm. They like produced the next one, but I'm a huge fan of kind of industrial like workflow games. So like Factorio or any other game that emulates that idea of like a supply chain management system. But Factorio, that game I put hundreds and hundreds of hours into, started my freshman year of college. And I just, man, if I was ever looking for like a deep game that I could sink myself into that had a wide array of like implications of supply chain management, resource management, that was definitely would be like one of my favorite ones.
See, I honestly thought you were going to say Minecraft. Like, I'm not even joking. I thought it was going to be Minecraft. But like,
Minecraft's wonderful, but it's not the end-all and be-all of like my video game world.
No. It doesn't seem so. Because like, I've heard you talk about Factorio or Factorio? Mm-hmm.
Factorio.
Oh, okay.
Factorio. I'll put it in the chat if anybody's looking for it.
All right. That'd be wonderful. I've seen the game. And there's actually a really big calling for that game. Like, a lot of people do play that. And it's not one that strikes my fancy all too much, but I do enjoy it. Like, it seems to be something, like, of a guilty pleasure of mine, because you can make things so clean and smooth, and, like, you can even make a tornado in that game out of just factory lines. Age of Empires? Ooh, that's a good game. It's an oldie, but a goodie. Like, I'm not even going to lie.
I played a lot of that back in the day. I beat all of the main storyline back in the day. Like, every single one of them, it was so much fun. That exactly emulates it, because, again, in terms of, like, video games, that's very close to Factorio. When you abstract the video game idea, and you say, hey, I need to go get wood, I need to get stone and gold, and then you build up your empire with that. And it's that same exact idea of resource management, supply lines, make sure you have enough stuff flowing into your organization. Hmm. Yeah.
I know for me, I'm a little bit weird. I like either first-person shooters, first-person action, but I really love tactical games. And one of the biggest tactical games... Oh, Jeremy. Is that Jeremy that is... Is that friend Jeremy?
I can't see what you're talking about.
Oh, sorry. Another person has just come in here, and I'm just thinking, is that the Jeremy you know? But anyway, sorry. About the game that I enjoy the most, and this is going to sound really cheesy, really stupid, but when I grew up, I used to watch this British YouTuber, and I actually gave him a shout-out a while back. His name's Kakoskia, and he played a game called XCOM. Enemy Unknown, and I loved it. It was one of my favorite games just watching, but even when I was playing it, I loved it. What does this say? You want to be best friends or something? I mean, we could, Jeremy. I mean, we could all be best friends. That would be awesome.
We could be. That'd be great. But you were saying about your video games?
Yeah. XCOM. It's a very tactical game, but it's about you as a human basically trying to survive and kill a bunch of evildoers, a bunch of mostly aliens, but there are humans in there that will actually fight you. But it's a pixelated game. I forget what it's called, but it's when you're looking down at the enemy. Like you're looking at like almost like a chessboard. Top down? I think that's top down RPG. Or it's not even an RPG. It's a top down tactical.
Top down turn based combat?
Yes. And it was very good. Like for its time, it was a 1994, 95 game, I want to say. And
some of those games from that time period are just, they're wonderful because they focus not on the graphics, but they focus more on the gameplay. And I'm so jealous.
I feel like jealous. Those, like even Doom aged like a fine wine. Today, like you can't just, everyone knows what Doom is, and Doom's amazing.
Oh, it's permeated the whole culture, video games out there.
I mean, the military even used it as a source for training troops, if you didn't know that.
Really? Yep. No, I didn't quite realize that.
Yeah, we did that for like a year, and then we found out that there's better ways of using our time and our energy. Yeah. And then they made like, what was it, America's Army? That's another video game that was actually processed and made by the military to get young kids into the military scene. And I thought, wow, that's very interesting.
Whoa, I had no idea. I hadn't actually ever heard of anything like that. It certainly makes sense. And even today, our militaries use virtualized simulations in order to try and teach tactics in a more cost-effective sphere. Mm. Just because you're not wasting actual bullets or gasoline or too much of that stuff. You just get the opportunity to fire virtual bullets. A little bit cheaper.
Yeah, true. And by the way, if anyone ever wants to say anything in chat, I will read it. I promise you. I will read it. I will say whatever you're saying out loud. I will try and...
Any new mobile video game other than PUBG? A little better. Aramy route.
Amarsh, I love you.
That's exactly how it's going to roll. Like anything in chat, I'm watching it live. Like, Dan, you just keep talking, I'm going to handle the chat.
That's perfect. That's perfect. PUBG, though, PUBG on mobile phone was actually really good. Like, I'm not even lying. I've played it. It's actually really fun. I liked it.
I've met some people actually through you, Dan, when we were at one of the college like conventions.
Ross,
one of your friends,
who was
mentioning, yeah, gets online.
Oh yeah, he
PUBG online.
He's actually one of the top players now for PUBG Mobile in the Northern United States.
That's
incredible. I'm not even joking. Like he's that good, and he has a clan. And one of the kids that plays with him, he was 13 when he started. Now he's like, I think 14 or 15. No, he's 15. Mm-hmm. But what the heck? Like,
yeah, that's intense.
And you wouldn't think he was like a top player or anything, not with like how he looks, how he acts and everything, because it's just people surprise you. Mm-hmm. I guess it's kind of like you can't judge a book by its cover, or you can't judge a video game by its reviews these days.
Not totally, but I think that brings us back. Do you play any like big name mobile video games on your cell phone? And what's your take on mobile video gaming nowadays?
Are you asking me?
Yeah, because I think that's the question. I'm trying to drive a truck back towards it.
Everyone's going to hate me. I don't play video games on my phone anymore. I actually gave up just 2 days ago. I was playing Fallout Shelters. But then I realized I was wasting so much time on it. For what? Nothing. Deathclaws would come in and eat my characters, and I'd be like, well, shit.
Oh, that's the worst. I used to play... the Fallout Shelters on my cell phone. But it's one of those that, like, once you reach a certain level, your time investment goes way higher than the actual reward in-game.
Exactly.
A lot for me, if you don't mind me taking back the spotlight, but, like,
no, you're fine.
Playing games on my cell phone, it just feels like the most of the cell phone video games are based on the idea of investing time to get some kind of reward, and I would much prefer a game respect my time and allow me to make advancements according to the effort that I put in rather than just the amount of time I put in.
I believe that. And hello to all the new listeners, if you're in right now. I will try to make sure I see you, and I will try and acknowledge you in a way, in my own special way.
The policy still stands. If you post in chat, I'm going to read that out loud like a fox. I'm watching it like a hawk. It's coming right out. No matter what you type in there, give it a go. Give it a whirl. I'll read it out loud. All right, Dan, what are we talking about next?
What's okay.
The next topic?
I want to ask, what is your thoughts on Bethesda as a game company? I know that's a very broad thing. Oh, wait, you got
Marriage
someone.
Route. Same here. A game that respects gamer time is worth to play. Worthy to play. Sorry. I don't mean to mess up the words. But yeah, no, Marish, that's exactly it. Like, I respect a company that will respect my time way more than I would a company that just wants to, you know, time gating mechanisms kill me. And that happens a lot on video games for cell phones. It's like, hey, come back in 15 minutes and I'm going to have this chest ready for you. And I'm like, come on. I already spent the money on it. Don't make me wait to unlock stuff. Just let's keep playing. And if I run out of content on your video game, then that's what happens. Like, you move on. Life's about change. It's not about keeping me coming back over and over again to your silly little video game on the phone. Exactly. I would like it much better if I can complete the experience than if you draw it out to the point where I hate it and I leave.
See, that's the thing about games today. Like, they're looking, I feel like, for me anyways, and this is kind of where I was going with Bethesda, they are now trying to make money. They're just trying to make money. They're not looking for the best game. No one's really trying to make the best game unless it's an indie game, because they're trying their hardest.
Yes, that's exactly and it.
It's not like we hate video games these days, and it's not like they hate the audience or like their listeners or their viewers. It's more or less that everything is revolving around money, and I understand money is a very big thing for everyone, but I've noticed like a lot of big name game companies, they're just throwing shit at our faces. Sorry for the language, but they are. It's just,
yeah,
they want the biggest bang for their little bit of buck. And that's, it just bothers me.
Yeah, totally. Well, and I mean, right, we can rail against like the industry as much as we want. One of the hard things to accept is that software development nowadays is becoming more and more expensive because of the amount of time necessary to spend on it to kind of reach that next level. That's and true. I can respect that. I totally understand it, which means that if you're going to develop a game, it's going to cost you a lot more. It's going to cost more time. Which means that the consumer needs to pay a higher price for the product. Now, I would still prefer that instead of, because I think one of the newest ones, what was it? Bethesda wants to release Fallout 4, like, or something subscription for a private server for like $100. Yeah, that one for like $100 a year subscription. And I'm like, don't make me pay a subscription. If the game costs $100 per person who buys it at the end of the day, tell me about it. Tell me the story of the development and why it costs so much for me to buy it. I would respect it way more if you tell me why I need to spend more money up front than if you tell me pay $30 a month or pay $100 a year to just get the same game that everyone else is getting. So I don't know. That's just kind of my take on it. Is like, I want to hear the story from the developer's point of view about why it costs more so that I can understand why me as a consumer that I need to pay more for this outstanding game that you're going to create.
See, I like that. You're down to the just the brass tacks of it all. Like, you want to know why we're paying more for something that it really shouldn't be. Like, I understand why WoW, for example, does that. They are keeping a basis. They're keeping all their fans giving them money. And it's going to be just like an intense monopoly. Like, whoever is going to get the most money for said game per year, per month, per whatever is going to be the big name, the big dog, and the one that is going to be like constantly making these games. And I know a lot of people are actually looking at Activision right now for a few illegal activities. And I don't know if you know about Activision right now, but
Amarish Route. I am not an avid gamer. I am not an avid gamer, but love to play the best one. More informative, interactive, helps to learn English.
Oh, very true. I actually
something to increase your English skills. Yeah, definitely. It's you know, talking to people and things like that too. Very helpful.
Proud of you. Yeah, proud of you, man. Also, thank you all for like coming in and actually becoming fans. I'm actually a little surprised about that. Wow, I wasn't expecting that off the bat. But
it's so exciting and fun. That's awesome. Thank you guys so much for being here, by the way. Thanks for listening to us. Just yammering on about video games. Yeah.
But one thing I've noticed that a lot of these big corporations are doing, they're pushing their agendas onto the viewers, onto the gamers, onto all these people. And what are we supposed to do about it? Like, we're still going to buy their stuff. Like, for instance, what's that new game? For instance, Call of Duty. The new Call of Duty is coming out. It's supposed to be the best Call of Duty that's ever been out there.
Totals McGee, they're losing money.
Everyone's losing money.
Well, but I mean, if you don't mind me derailing your conversation, though, I totally agree with the idea that the companies are losing money. As I mentioned before, the companies are charging more because of the fact that they're not making as much money. AAA games, historically, if we watch like the trends, a lot of games back when I was like 14, 15, 16 were coming out at like $60 flat rate, like for wholesale. Like you bought the game at $60, you get the whole thing. From what I've heard is AAA gamers, companies, like today, if they sold a game at $60 per copy, unless their game explodes in popularity and they go to the big top, you know, top of the line, number one, top 10, they don't make enough money. Yeah, not making as much money is equal to, yeah, they're in the negative. They're operating in the negative, and that's, as a company, it's unsustainable. They can't do it. So my preference, though, again, to bring it back to my point before, Amer Rausch is not. It doesn't make sense for them to keep on screening their tactics for trying to make more money. I would still, again, if I'm going to pay for a service, which is a video game or a piece of hardware or software, tell me why. Tell me why it's so good. Tell me what your upgrades are, how much time you spent on it. Give me the numbers, because I would love a company to come right out and tell me, hey, Talaman, we spent 16,000 hours between all of our 100 developers developing this game for you to play. It cost X amount to pay our developers, so therefore, you need to pay this amount to enjoy our game. Boom! I'd be like, that's awesome. Now I have a great metric to say, this game's worth my money. Yes. That's just me, though. That is just my opinion.
No. That's honestly what I'm looking for nowadays, because I like hearing about the stories of why Call of Duty succeeded and why others failed. And it's mostly down to the brass tacks of like people came to this because that's what they wanted. They left this company because they didn't do what other companies wanted or what other people wanted. It's just, if they told us what they needed, like if they actually told us exactly what they needed, so many people would pay up front. So many people would probably just give them money. I'm not even joking. Like millionaires would come to their company and just saying like, here, take my money. I want your game. Like I would see that happening. And also maybe. I love your name, Bart. I don't know why, but I love it. Hello, Bart.
Well, and it's super interesting because, right. Like a lot of companies choose not to Bart. Thanks, man. A lot of companies choose kind of to hide that or to to obscure why they're charging what they're charging, or like doing battle royale passes and things like that to kind of like prop up their games. And I can't fault a company for wanting to make more money, but we as consumers also need to be discerning about the companies that do those kinds of practices, right? One that always kind of surprises me, and you hear it again and again in the media, is just like Fortnite. But again, if we relate that back to the concept of Call of Duty, Duty's model ended up being sell a bunch of games really fast and then keep on a same release cycle, right? A new storyline, bootstrap some more skins on it, and then bam, now you're getting a whole nother $60 investment from your gamers, from your community, which keeps them rolling as a company. It's all about how much merchandise you can move at the lowest price. So their $60 copy kind of worked as a model. And our question now today is, what would work as a gaming cycle model? What would work for a company to sell copies of a game at a reasonable price, to sell enough to make money, right? If they place their price too high, not as many people are going to buy. If they place it too low, they're not going to make enough money out of the population that they got to actually sell the game to, because there's only a finite number of people. Totals McGee, these major publishers are going to be pulling a lot of withdrawals from the trust jar from major investors before we see quality games.
That's
very interesting point.
Yeah, I was just going to say, that's an interesting point. But like, You're not wrong. It's here's something that I kind of want to just chime in for. I can't even remember. It's not Activision.
Totals McGee, 10 years, I speculate. I'm guessing he's saying before the next quality games are going to be coming out.
Yeah. Ubisoft, shoot. I know someone who worked on Ubisoft games. really interesting dude. He's 34 years old, and he worked on Rainbow Six Siege. And I talked to him for, like, hours. He was very interesting because he talked about every little detail of art actually has some sort of significance to the player, as well as the player's enemies. So when you were talking about basically taxing the player, or like giving or making us pay, let's say, like $60 for the game, while other people, they can pay say $140, or I don't even know what it is anymore, like $180 for the full game, for all the art, for all the guns, for all the characters, and then they get all these extra packs. Well, the people that get that $160, $180 package actually get a better bonus, because if you're playing, say, one of the main characters in the game is called Capkin, he's a trap operator, meaning if you go around a corner and you don't see one of his traps, it will blow you up.
Which game is this that we're talking about? Sorry.
Rainbow Six Siege.
Thank you. Yeah,
it's one of the most realistic first-person shooters. I don't know if anyone in chat knows of it. It's a fun game. I play it.
I've played Rainbow Six Siege.
Oh, yeah. You have too? What?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. My good buddy Jared, he got me into it.
Oh.
Totals McGee, it is.
Thank you, Totals. I actually would love playing that with you one of these days. Anyways, back to the topic at hand. Say Capkin is in all black. He's hiding in a corner. His trap just hit you. He can take you down in seconds because you don't see him, because his camo is making it harder for him to be seen. Now, the only way you get that camo is by opening up these packages. And the only way you get these packages is with Renown, which you earn during the game, which I love they added that in.
Bart, 360 no scope.
360 no scope, exactly. That's happened to me so many times in Call of Duty. I hate
it. Oh, it's awful.
Oh, Call of Duty is... Oh.
But right, so what you're talking about is like pay to win, right?
Yes.
Like
yes.
That's the point you're driving at, is pay to win is a thing. And it's undeniable that like if you pay for the correct camos, camouflage works. It's a thing.
Everything like
Bart, pay to play is lame. It totally is. I can't stand it. If I have to pay more physical money than the base game itself, I am livid. Like it's unfair. It's not worth it. Like raise the minimum price on the game and equalize everybody, because I want to play based on experience. I do not want to play based on how much my gross economic worth is in real life. I play a video game to escape my real life. I don't play it to bring my money with me.
I mean, remember when you were a kid and like your parents would buy you a video game? Like my first video game that I can actually recall was Pokemon Crystals.
And oh yeah, yep.
I didn't pay
for Pokemon it, was the same thing for me too. That was one of my first video games.
Was it?
Yeah, Pokemon Gold. I got it from like a friend who like lent me a game, Bart. Oh, the rich win again? Okay, good. And that's exactly it. It's like, why would we want to play a video game if the rich people are going to be able to dominate still? Because that's not cool.
It's not.
And I don't want my boss to keep beating me.
Yeah, we have to live
in and out of life. Yep, exactly.
I actually used to play with one of my bosses at NMU. It was very interesting.
No, that is.
See, the thing is, pay to win is something that is always going to be there. I just know in the future we're going to see it in everything. We're going to see it in Pokemon Go. We're going to see it in Pokemon Crystal. I know they're going to do like a rendition of it. Like they already talked about it. Like,
yeah,
they have Pokemon Heart Gold, which is wonderful. I have Soul Silver. Oh. I would have rather had Heart Gold, but who cares? But they're just remaking or reskinning these games, but they're adding little twists to it to make you pay more. And like,
That's exactly it.
Yeah. But like, there's, oh man, what is it? There's a Pokemon that you can only get if you pay for the scratch off card for it. And it Bart
following the broadcaster.
Oh, Bart.
Bart has become a follower.
You're
welcome. Bart sent Hearts X5.
He's so wonderful.
He's very nice.
He is.
I like Bart.
I like Total Bart.
McGee following the broadcaster.
Oh, Totals.
Totals is now following Dan Vegar.
Oh, I'm sorry. As in
Vegar victory. Vegar victory for the win. Give it up for our show's host, Vegar victory.
And here I am. I'm just like, hands are in the air. There we go. Wave them like I just don't care. There we go.
There you go.
But yeah, back to gaming. I want to ask you something, Tony.
Uh-huh, what's up?
How do you feel about remakes? Like, for instance, Elder Scrolls. Like, how would you feel about them keep constantly remaking the same game and only adding like a few minute details?
It kills me, right? Like, remakes are awesome because they get you the opportunity to relive an old game, especially when there's like a good significant time span in between the first one and the next one, right? Because we as humans, our memories like wear off like over time, so it makes sense. Ashton, American? I'm American.
Yeah, we're both American.
Yeah, yep. Thanks for the question. But so me, if there's significant enough time in between, I think it's a really good thing. I mean, it's great that a developer can re-release, maybe modernize the graphics, update the engine. I think that's cool. One of the risks of doing that, though, especially with what we've seen with Skyrim, is diminishing return. The fact that, like, it essentially digs itself in a hole a little bit, because over so many re-releases, we devalue the actual experience of the game, and it becomes more about the title rather than the gameplay. Skyrim, actually, Ashton. Yep, and that's exactly it. Skyrim. I don't know if that was intentional or not, but yeah, Skyrim's the primary example, and they've done it with other games. Ashton BSK. I like Skyrim. Hey, watch it. I've got a playthrough of original Skyrim on my Talaman Gaming YouTube channel. It's there if anyone wants to go see it.
I'm also playing
a mod. I'm going to put a quick plug in for myself. I'm playing a mod for Skyrim that's amazing. It's so good. Go look it up. It's called Enderal Lost Stories. It's so good. Go look at it. It's free if you've already owned Skyrim. It completely overhauls it. Now, back to the original point.
Wait. Before you go in. Oh, have a good night, Bart. We love you.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for being here, Bart. Really appreciate it.
If anyone doesn't like a game, that's perfectly fine. Like, I won't judge you. But... Waves.
Why?
But I understand why some people hate it. Like, people in the past
Minecraft.
And like, now it's like the number one game. Or it's been like number one in so many... How many years has it been? Like, it was like the number one game.
A decade. Yeah.
Yeah. It was the most sold game for like the longest time.
Oh, anyways, it still is. It's not?
What? Oh, Tetris!
Tetris. Didn't it just clinch it though?
It did.
Tetris, that's what it was.
Yeah.
Most sold game. I'm curious now, what is the actual metrics?
By the way, Tony here, or Talaman Gaming, he is literally my tech guy and also my info broker, I want to say.
There you go. Yeah, Minecraft beat it out. So we've got 176 million sales compared to Tetris, which is set at 170 million. So Mohang clinched it in... So Mohang for Minecraft has been out since 2011. Mojang, sorry. I always want to... I learned Spanish when I was younger, so...
No, you're fine. But,
yeah.
I did too, but...
So basically, yeah, it's older than 2011 because that's the actual release date, but it's been around since like 2007. I'm not up on my numbers there, but okay, so Totals McGee, Skyrim, the ruiner of relationships, the degradation of careers, the sultan of Easter eggs. Ashton, no, not the new Tetris. Ashton, Destiny. Sorry, we had some comments to catch up on there.
No. I was actually going to tell you about that. Like, I was going to read it, or you were going to read it. I wasn't sure. But one thing that I have noticed, there's a, like, for certain games, there's a major following. Say, Destiny. It's that game has the weirdest following I've ever seen. Like, they used to be number one, and then they would go right back to zero. Like, barely anyone was following it. Then they come right back up out of nowhere after like the second game came out, and more people play Destiny than Destiny 2. So
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. And I was like, that's a little odd.
Does it help for you to hope it's the inverse?
Yeah. I don't know. It's weird. Anyways, back to you, sir.
Oh, yeah. No. And I think I made my point kind of clear, though, is just that I am hoping Ashton, true. So diminishing returns, like we're talking about, like re-releases of games, and that kind of like idea of like the cycles of game releases. And I'm okay with it, but I do think after your like second or third re-release of a game and you make minimal updates, all you do is like a couple new textures, things like that, without including any more content, then I'm getting a little bit like, come on, hey, why are you doing this? I know it's a cash grab at this point. It's not about the love of the original game. It's more about how much life can you squeeze from this beloved product, right? Mm-hmm. You're trading on the notoriety of the old game rather than your belief in what it stood for at the time. So,
well, see, the thing is, I understand what you're going with. The problem is, look at WoW. WoW has been like criticizing so many people on not purchasing the old version, I don't know what it is, the original version.
WoW Classic or something?
WoW Classic. And the people that don't get it, they're basically criticized for not getting the WoW Classic. But the thing is, the company wants you to get that. They want you to spend that extra, however much more.
Totals McGee, it sounds like the equivalent to Angular in JavaScript. The earlier versions are used more than the most recent versions. Yeah, and that's totally it.
Yeah, it's just, it's so annoying, though, because if you stay with a game and you keep on remastering it, you keep on, like, it's the same game, and you just make it look prettier, you make new things added, like new DLC and like new enemies, and you stay with that game, you can't really make much money from it unless you have a subscription fee, which Fallout 76 is doing. WoW's already been doing that for years.
Oh, and, like, yeah, years.
Oh, wait, what?
Ashton. ORG, BRB, husband comes first. Ashton, org, I meant.
Org. Ah, okay. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, that's cute, Ashton.
Organization. Got to go, for fuck's sake.
Oh, well, okay.
Yeah, we'll see you later. Thanks for dropping by. Yeah, thank you for being here. Yeah.
That was fun. Interesting. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's just life.
Yeah, I understand that. Life always gets in the way. But it's interesting because if you're a big name company, you still have to pay so many people to keep this game going. And if you don't have a subscription-based game, how are you going to make that money unless you drop sales like GTA, for instance? And even when GTA 5 came out, they were still needing more money because they were paying people in the millions. So It's really difficult for like a game development studio or even just gamers to stay with a game. It's so interesting. I love the dynamic that we have for different genres, different companies, different gamers in general. Anyways, what would you like to add?
Well, I think you've hit all the highlights. There's not too much more. It is interesting for the fact that like it's an ecology in a sense, like each side is feeding off the other and trying to make sure that they stay alive, right? Because we, as a company, it becomes an organism in a sense, in an economic, you know, kind of growth versus die off. So who wants to stay alive, right? So they compete for the food source, which is the people buying the games. And how do they compete for it? Well, there's a whole bunch of different metrics and there's all the info out there. But that also causes some people to cut corners and, you know, sacrifice maybe their image for quick sales now, or, you know, others will try and hold out as long as they can, stick to kind of the righteous path in a sense. But then maybe they go under because they didn't do things quite right, or they did do things too right, and then they didn't make their sales. So it's complex, right? And it's difficult because no one has the right answer, and all we can do as consumers is try and vote with our money on who gets to keep going. So, ooh. Totals McGee, do you think with the emergence of binaries being run in browser that it would lead to a shift in mainstream gaming? So I'm guessing by binaries, are you referring to the like .io kind of emergence of like in-browser video games based on modern internet speeds? I'm going to need a little more explanation here before I can go. So WebAssembly. Oh boy, I'm no software nerd here. So what is WebAssembly?
Are you talking about binary code for, like, it's ones and zeros for making, like, a site? Like say everything was run on ones and zeros. Yeah, okay. Basically, I don't know if it would help process it faster. It would be... Like, yeah, things would process a little bit faster, maybe, but it would be more confusing for the user, for example. It's not just cut and dry. It wouldn't be just like click here to go to there. It would be you have to do this. If so, then yes to this, no to that, no to that. If yes, I'm using basic Java right now, but it would be very rough, essentially, like Unreal Tournament on the browser. See, it would be very difficult to do something like that, I would think. Also, I'm sorry, I'm not that much of an expert. I did go to school originally for computer science and engineering, but I got out of there because I was very, very tired of it. I didn't want to stay behind a desk the rest of my life. And I'm not saying it's bad to stay behind a desk. I wanted to do things with my life. So I expanded my horizon. I was originally in computer science engineering. Then I went into English writing, sociology, and history. So I could study people, history, and English, and write my own book in the future. And then, yeah, life.
So, yeah, definitely. I mean, C++ is rough. No joke. It totally is. Dan, I'm going to chime in here now that I took a second to actually go read up on it because I wasn't following as closely as maybe I could have. But I now am oriented to kind of the discussion topic from totals here. It certainly is like from what I've read, a lot of like modern economics, totals and Mickey Java is beastly too. So a lot of modern economic analysts, especially for the video game realm, are saying that we're going to experience in about the next 10 years, probably 8 years at this point since the article came out, of more web-based video games because server-side tends to play faster for multiplayer and allows the user greater flexibility in terms of which games they play. Amrish Raut, game to programming language. I'm not quite sure what that means, so I'm going to keep talking. But basically... they're saying that we're going to experience this great shift between people buying consoles and then housing their own like high-end hardware in order to play these brand new games. And instead, we're going to stream video from a virtualized server, allowing us to play the software and the game that's being housed out there on the web at an easier way at home. Like we plug in with our controller, we have a tiny little box that just connects to the cloud, and then that cloud allows us to play the game on our computer or TV screen, whichever it is. And I certainly think that there is a large amount of clout behind that idea. We will experience a big market shift as, you know, more titles get released for those types of systems to be run on as more... I know the PS5 is supposed to revolutionize gaming in a new way. I don't know. Yeah, cloud gaming, and that's exactly it. Mm-hmm. I know Amazon was experimenting with some of those kinds of things as well. I'm trying to think of what else is out there that I know that there's titles, but I'm not as fond of it. I think I still am in love with the idea of owning my own hardware, owning the software myself rather than renting it. I don't like subscriptions. I never have. But that is personal rather than based in real economics, because typically renting ends up being cheaper, but you don't own it for life. So there's always trade-offs.
Yeah, I feel the same way because I feel more free when it's my own game and I own...
Raut. But you guys are very good CastBox caster. You never miss any details. Bye from me now. Oh, well, thank you so much for being here. We really appreciate it. Have a good rest of your day from us. Well,
yeah, I hope to see you in the future. Have a wonderful day or wonderful night.
Whichever it is.
Mm-hmm. I do feel, though, it is better to have your own personal copy, or say if it's a digital copy, it just feels better.
Oh, I definitely agree.
I enjoy it that much more because I know it's mine. And like, if collector. I was to rent, yeah, I'm a collector too. But like, if I was to rent a game every week, say, like I used mm-hmm. to do that. I had to rent a game from a little, I forget what it was, like a Radio Shack, but like for video games and mm-hmm. movies and stuff. But
Family Video was one that was in my hometown.
Yeah, mine was
Family Videos. TN sent Heart X5.
Aw, thank you, TN.
Very nice. Thank you.
You're wonderful. You made my night.
TN, following the broadcaster.
Aw, TN. You should
congratulations, Dan. we want to hear your voice.
Yeah, tell us something, TN. Like, it's so nice.
Chime in if you want. It's a community conversation right now.
Yeah. We're open to anything, really. Most anything, not...
Most anything.
Yeah.
So, back to your point, though. You were renting video games weekly, you were saying.
Yeah, and I noticed, because when I was growing up, I didn't have a lot of money. My family didn't have a lot of money. It was difficult for us to do anything. So, I would scrape up money. Usually, it was like coins that I would find, and then I would work some odd jobs. I would work in logging industry when I was like... I think I was like 14 or 13, and I would do mm-hmm. odd jobs for a lot of the loggers. Like I would pick up trash. I would sort through their mails. I would get them things when they needed it. I would move logs. But at the time, I did all that because it gave me a purpose. It gave me a chance to buy a game or rent a game. And I noticed something. I just kept on doing the same motive until I felt satisfied with that game. And I thought about it, like, why don't I buy the game? And I looked at the prices, and it was three times as much. Actually, it was probably like four times as much. And I bought the games instead, but I had to work a little bit extra harder, or a little harder to get them. But after I had them, I could do whatever I wanted with that game. I could sell it. I could play it. I could just have it on
for a while and play it later. Yeah.
Yep. And I felt happy. Like, it made me feel that much more happy because I had something that was personally mine. And hello, Kelly. How are you? Oh, goodbye, Kelly. That was a little interesting. Sorry about that, guys. But for me, I always try to purchase a video game because it just makes me happy. Like, it means it's something personable. It's something that's mine forever. I don't know how you guys feel, and I know how Tony feels. He feels like, oh, I'm a collector. I can collect all of these. And then, like, in the future, he's going to sell them when he's, like, really old, or he's just going
to
bury
them. I don't know. Yeah, that might be the closer to the answer.
There we go. Oh, but I want to hear some more about you, Tony. Like, tell me about...
Okay, what else? What else do you want to know?
Well, I want to hear about you when you were a kid, and, like, how games influenced you. And if anyone in chat wants to talk about them as a kid and how video games influenced you, I would love to hear it.
Okay, definitely. Just as a reminder, we are coming up on the last 15 minutes of the conversation. So just for you, if there's any other future questions. But okay, so we want to dive into Tony's childhood and video games. So I don't know. Some of the earliest video games I remember, I had a PS1. I've actually owned PS1, 2, 3, 4.
Holy.
I've owned them all. My parents were very kind.
That's good.
Yeah, I think to memory, they bought me the 1, 2, and 3, and then I bought my own PS4.
Hmm.
I bought it as a shared investment in college with my roommate at the time, and then I bought it out from him afterwards. But no, the PS1 was actually, I think, one of the first, like, in front of a TV video games that I would play, other than, like, crappy little video games here and there. And, like, it was the first one that I really owned that I knew I could come home to and, like, really actually play. So I remember playing, there was a really old one that was, like, a Scooby-Doo adventure. And I was playing games at such a young age that my mother had to come and read the cutscenes to me because there wasn't voice acting and I couldn't read yet.
Oh.
So I must have been closer to 4. I didn't start reading until like middle of kindergarten. Second time around kindergarten. I repeated kindergarten.
Okay.
Held back. So, but yeah, it was that young. Video games have been around for me for a long time. Totals McGee. I was weird. I played a lot of browser-based games. And yeah, I actually did too. Eventually, after I played quite a bit of, you know, PS1, we got a family computer a little bit after that, not too long, because computers for me were just becoming very mainstream, 1999, 2000 era. So for me, my experience then shifted from the PS1. I think I went over to a little bit on the family computer. And then, oh, there was one that was like a, God, we're diving into old memories here. So it was a really neat game because it was based on an aquarium and you battled through levels by buying fish and making enough money over periods of time. I'd have to go look it up to find the title of it. But when the most memorable part was when your computer went into a screensaver mode, this video game would actually run and it would actually generate cash for you.
I know what
game to be played. Oh, it was so good. I remember that. And I was like, I wanted to leave that computer on all the time. Totals McGee. Then free 2D RPGs. Then back to text-based like PUDs. I never played any text-based adventures until most recently. In the past couple of years. Text-based adventures, yeah, I really haven't had much experience at all with them. For me, a big one ended up being my first MMORPG was RuneScape. I played a lot of RuneScape between me and my friends.
See,
good stories came out of it.
That is a really good game, and it kind of kept up with the audience over time. Mm-hmm. I mean,
version is more popular than RuneScape 2 or 3, I think we're at now.
Yeah.
RuneScape Classic is still, like, the favorite among hardcore RuneScape players.
Mm-hmm. It's still, like, it surprises me. Like, that game and, say, like, Minecraft, they have stuck, and WoW even, they have stuck with their societies. And
their communities, kept up
communities, them. It's just so interesting to me. Also, hello to everyone new, by the way.
Yeah, definitely. I see them dropping in. It's awesome. Thank you guys for being here. But that kind of takes me back. That takes us back to our older points of just saying, like, it always seems to me like newer games, rushed ones, get the feeling of missing kind of the point of video games, right? Whereas, you know, older games that didn't have as much maybe in graphics or in, you know, intensive visuals, focus more on the gameplay aspect. A lot of what I remember about older games is, and I am highlighting the classics, right? Like Pokemon, ever revered for its replayability and the countless hours you could invest into it to get some kind of achievement. But it was all about the gameplay rather than the visuals, because as we all know, the visuals were never that amazing to be seen, other than the Pokemon themselves, of course.
You know,
what else do you want to know about my childhood? There's so much. We can unpack it all.
I mean, do you want to? How late do you want to go
with? I don't know. What do you want to get into?
Well, for instance, you know when a video game... Oh, I think someone texted something. Oh, no, someone else joined. Hello, Joiner, Fred.
Joiner?
I don't know.
Hello, Joiner in the chat. Yeah, welcome to all of you new joiners into the chat. That's what we're going to call people who join our chat, the Joiners. You are now a category apart.
One moment.
Oh, that's terrible. We do watch chat very closely, so if you're just joining in, feel free to join in the conversation. We're going to try and keep track of it. To orient anyone who is coming in, Vager is the gentleman I am talking to. I am currently being hosted by him. My name is Tony on YouTube, Talaman Gaming. So feel free to look me up. I'm here supporting Dan in his new adventure in podcasting.
Thank you.
Currently, we're talking about video games and just kind of our history, our own kind of reasons for being here. And we're just exploring these topics. Dan, have I talked enough? Have I provided enough filler?
No, you know, you're fine. I had to take care of something, but I'm
back. Yeah, I know. That's what I was filling. I was filling in.
I actually wanted to ask, you know when games kind of give you achievements or trophies?
No, they still do. Still a lot of them.
When was the first time that you actually remember getting an achievement or a trophy?
Okay, well, right off the top of my head, there was a, like, what was the game called? It was a browser-based Flash game, which, Toddles, we've talked about that quite a bit. But achieved. I don't remember what it was called, but like, I remember that one most significantly because it just kept popping up with like, you've achieved this, you've achieved that. And that one comes to mind very quickly as like one of the first times I was like, holy crap, there's this whole video games can tell me when I've achieved certain metrics. No, yeah. Not Neopets. It was like you were a little elephant. You were in this tiny little world. And as you achieved like different activities, and it was all about like killing yourself, I think. It was a very dark idea. So if you like dived yourself onto spikes, you dived on 100 times and you get another achievement. But by achieving that, you got something else to kill yourself with, whether it was a crushing machine or explosives. But I achieve all or like achievement up. Something like that. But that was one of the ones that it was a flash game that oriented me to the idea of like, hey, achievements are a thing. You can be represented by them. And then I remember PS3 having, no, I never played Binding of Isaac. But it wasn't until PS3 where it was like, hey, you could get these like trophies that show up across a whole bunch of players. And then you can see like how you rack and stack against other people. And even modern day Steam is doing the same thing where I can see like, hey, I've achieved this achievement that only 10% of players who have played this game have ever gotten. And I'm like, that feels good. It's a metric. I can compare myself directly to other people and I know where I stand on certain games. And obviously the games that I love, I tend to have more achievements than other people and I achieve the lower ranked ones. I like achievements. I think they're a great way outside of the game's like storyline or like actual mechanics to track just kind of how much you love the game. I think that's what it is at the end of the day, is like how much do you like a game and how closely has the developer worked to make sure that you keep feeling the love from the game back. See, achievements are a great way for the community to express itself to each other.
That was beautiful.
I don't know. I'm talking off the cuff here. I'm glad it was beautiful.
Just that's what an achievement's supposed to be like. It's an achievement. And yep. Like
when it meant something. I stole your thunder.
No, you're perfect. I remember playing some, like I remember flash games, but that wasn't the one that I actually remember the most. I remember like Halo 2. I think it was Halo 2.
Yeah.
I got an achievement in that game. Or was it? Mm-hmm. It was either Halo 2 or Halo 3. And I remember that. And I was like, whoa, what is this? And I thought it was amazing. And I actually felt like I was important at that time. I thought I was doing something amazing. And hello, Drama Rock. That is an interesting name.
Drama Rock has joined the party.
I'm going to say hello to everyone. There's Drama Rock. Hello. There's ID. I don't know who ID is. Oh, wait. That's the actual ID number. I'm sorry. There's Tien. There's Squiggy. There's Yor Suarez, Mark, Fred, Kelly. Thank you all for joining.
My goodness. Welcome. Welcome all. Welcome one and all.
Yes. But... I feel like
Drama Rock. Miggy, thumbs up.
Sweet man. But I feel like achievements have a sense of like making you feel so much better.
Drama Rock. Vig, thumbs up. Mark 777. Morning all.
Morning to you.
He's just waking up. He's asleep. He's joining in the chat. Mark 77 at Drama Rock. Winky face or sunglasses face. Drama Rock, Mark, thumbs up. We're having a conversation. Am I going to narrate the whole conversation? These are the questions we must ask ourselves.
I want to know if these two are actually friends, because like I feel like they are, and they seem like friends. But
shall we observe their drama as it unfolds in front of us?
Oh, we could.
Tell us about your personal lives. Go deep into your personal lives. Mark 77, yep, we are. Drama Rock, yes, we are.
Wow, you guys are like the same. Like it's almost exactly the same. Oh my
But not
Lord.
The music.
It's the same person.
Mark 77.
Oh, Drama's the boss.
Right, boss?
As we wait for this reply.
Silence. I said we're watching the drama unfold in front of us. All right, back to the conversation. Hey. I'll update as it comes through. I work as a software dev.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah, no wonder he knows so much. Yeah. Knocking the socks right off me, and I was your tech guy.
True.
Mark 77 sent heart to X4.
Oh, thanks, man. You're awesome. That just makes my day. Like, honestly, you so guys nice. Liking this? That's what I'm living for.
Tells McGee, non-traditional. Oh, you took a non-traditional route, so like non-degreed, but you self-taught and then got hired in? Drummerock boss at Mark.
I love this. I just I love fun. You guys talking to each other. It's just making my day.
Yeah, definitely.
Everything. Sorry. I'm so sorry.
Tony. No. It's okay. We're interrupting each other. Drummerock, cool.
Aw.
Oh, it's getting hard to keep up. Totals McGee is self-taught / boot camp. Well, no. Boot camps are becoming like mainstream, and I think that's awesome. Like, the more that you can kind of promote the tech world, the more important it is, because software techs are really hard to find. So like, if you ever are interested in like the science side of things, or like the software world that's out there, like, look up software boot camps, because you can get a degree or a basically, you can get a certification in a very short period of time and then be able to get started in the industry very quickly. They're great if you're looking to jumpstart a career. Drama Rock sent Heart X4. Oh, all right, dear. Dan, I think you were talking about... what were we talking about?
No. We were talking about achievements a little while back. Right. And like, they make you feel a little bit more, essentially. Like, they make you feel like it's actually worth playing the game. And not to say like a game doesn't have worth. It's just when you give an achievement or a trophy, and I actually like the word achievement more. So sorry, PS. Mm-hmm,
than a trophy. Yeah.
It's just, it feels that much more reassuring that you're doing something right. And that's what it was like for me when I was playing Halo. I was getting headshots with grunts. I was beating the shit out of elites. I was I almost felt like I was curb stomping like brutes, but like it was like intense moments, and you would get these achievements that would be like 15 headshots in a row. It would be like sticking a brute in the back with a sticky grenade. There's one with a banshee, and you would run so many people over with a banshee, and
and then you get an achievement for that.
Yes, and I love
promoting violence. Such fun! Yes. It's so good. As long as we maintain the separation of on screen versus off screen, I am totally happy with it.
True enough, honestly. I actually do want to ask you something. This may
got
be
about a 2 minutes left.
Oh, that's true. I don't know if this is too much, but how do you feel about people arguing that video games are making people more violent?
You got to look at the science. Look at the research reports. Bottom line is a no. There's no correlation between violence in video games and violence in real life. Like, it's apples to oranges in terms of like the comparison between it. So like, for me, I'm an engineer. So for me, go back to the numbers, go back to the science. The research reports have shown again and again, like non-biased sources, basically, is what I'm trying to drive at. But like, it doesn't exist. There's no link between the two. Like, violence in video games does not cause a violent person. Yep, unless the subject already has a mental illness, right? It's a non-causal relationship. Violence in video games can cause it to be heightened, but it does not directly cause violence in real life. Yep. Yeah. Totals McGee.
Thank you, Totals. Thank you. It's just, I'm getting so, I don't want to say annoyed. It's just, I get very almost sad when I see all these comments of like, video games ruined my son's life, now he tries to hit me all the time. And I was just like, what? And I see that on like social media, and I think, yep, if your son's trying to hit you, there's something wrong there. Like, he wasn't like disciplined, or he doesn't know right from wrong, or maybe he's just trying to act out because someone's not paying attention to him. But it's not video games that does that, because I know, like,
it's not the root cause.
It's certainly not. Yeah, it's not the real cause. Like, I understand if like a kid would be taken away, like say you take a kid's PS4 away, he's going to be angry, he's going to be upset, yeah, he's going to be depressed, he's going to go through the stages. And Drama Rock, what did you say?
Totals McGee, though I have a more complicated opinion on it. Drama Rock, isn't violence in video games symbol ?
Symbol?
Symbolic, perhaps?
Oh, symbolic. Ah.
Symptomatic of our violent mainstream media, or violent tendencies in our actual society.
See, that's...
chicken and the egg, or is it symptomatic, or... Oh, that's a whole box of worms. That's a can of worms
we gotta open up. Yeah, and I just did that at the end.
Right.
But basically what I'm going to say is
we're in the after show at this point.
We are in the after
show. Yeah. Very no, it's totally cool, Drama Rock. I am happy points are being brought up like that. So Totals McGee, so was Cowboy Western in the 60s. Well, and right, you can go back as far as you want and you can see like plays and dramas, right? They would glorify the ideas of war and conquest. Historically, there is precedent for mainstream medias to worship the ideas of violence and aggression. So is it modern day access is higher? Is it that we can see it in more high definition, or like it's always been a part of humanity? So can we really point the finger at it and say, this is the reason?
Yeah.
Or is it just a really good scapegoat?
See what And I love everything you just said there. And I don't want to take any thunder from that. I want to say that video games, they don't cause problems. They don't cause like physical damaging problems to like one another. I think video games are a really good outlet for some people to get rid of pent up rage or pent up depression, all the basic problems that a lot of humans actually go through on day-to-day bases. For me, when I was a kid, I was bullied a lot and I had to go through a lot of traumatic events, and video games were my outlet. I would use video games to cope with a lot of problems in my life. And it's not that I'm like, I don't think I'm a better person because of video games. I think video games helped shape me in the way that I am now.
Mm-hmm. And Drama Rock, part of the reason, but not the actual problems in society.
Exactly.
Sorry, keep going, Dan.
No. I love what Drama just pointed out, and I also thank you for reading it. I think video games help and also hinder us in different ways. Basically, I'm coming at from a sociological point of view. Games feed into us like we would say we watching a
Drama
movie.
Drama Rock. Okay.
Okay. Oh, that's just awesome. But video games are a lot like videos that we watch on YouTube. They're a lot like going on walks on the beach. They're a lot like just anything. They're a part of our lives that we just go with. Like, we go with the flow. We buy a video game because we think it's interesting. We go on a walk because we think we need to. We go to the movies because we think we're going to like it. Or we're trying to impress a girl or a guy, who knows? But we do things in society because we feel like it's necessary or it's right or it means something to us. And for me, video games is one of my outlets. It's one of the ways that I like live my day-to-day life. Like, if I'm ever stressed out, I will play a video game and it'll calm me down. It'll make me feel better about myself. If I'm ever just trying to relax and I'm thinking about too many things, I'll play a video game. I'll play like Pokemon and it'll just be like, oh, I remember doing this when I was younger. Or I'll be like, oh, I just got a new Pokemon, that sort of thing. So I don't know how it is for you, Drama, or anyone else in the chat, but like that's how it's for me. And Tony, I don't know if you would like to chime in anything.
You took that conversation to many different points.
I did.
I don't think I can comment on all of them, but certainly for me, like in terms of what do video games represent, like, yeah, I would say for me, it's they're an outlet. They're a form of creative expression. And for me, like I'm trying to play YouTube. So if we like wrap that all the way back around to like YouTube, it's a way for me to have a creative outlet as a player of the video game, right? To feed into that, you know, the great beast of the modern media cycle. Mm-hmm. I have a creative outlet there in how I interpret and play my video game. So Tom W, following the broadcaster. Thank you, Tom, for following Dan. I know he appreciates it.
I do very much, Tom.
Yeah. So, you know, for me, I like to play video games for the purpose of self-expression, for, like you said, kind of like taking, you know, weight off the shoulders. I just get to experience the game, remove myself from the real world and place myself in a virtual world, kind of forget the cares of the world for just a little while and pass a little time. So, yeah, Totals McGee, I'm going to hop off. And I think we are too. I think we're wrapping this up right now. Right, Dan? That was the last word. We enjoyed ourselves. We thank you all for being here. Thank you guys so much.
Yes, really do this appreciate was amazing. It. I'm very Tons grateful for all of you, like literally all of you, for just chiming in. And oh wow, do you know Tom as well? This is interesting. Wow, you guys, yeah. everyone's
it's a shared community.
Yes.
So, we'll see you all later. Thank you so much for being here.
Yes, thank you very much for being here, and I hope to see you in the future. So if you ever want to chime in, feel free. See you later.